This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O God, the Holy Spirit, you are light unto your elect. Evermore enlighten us. You who are fire of love, evermore enkindle us. You who are Lord and giver of life, evermore live in us. You who bestows sevenfold grace, evermore replenish us. As the wind is your symbol, so forward our goings. As the dove, so launch us heavenwards. As water, so purify our spirits. As a cloud, so abate our temptations. As dew, so revive our languor. And as fire, so purge out our dross. Amen. Good morning. Happy Earth Day, happy Daughter of the King Day, happy Voices in Bronze Day, happy Choir Day. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. The prayer that I just shared with you was written by Christina Rossetti. She appears on our calendar of saints yesterday, April 27th, and perhaps you know her as a poet. She is famous for especially her Christmas poetry that has been lyricized and put into melodies for Christmas carols. Love Came Down at Christmas being one, the most famous, number 112 in our hymnal, In the Bleak Midwinter, one of my favorites, with those classic words of the last verse, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what I can, I give him. I give my heart." Beautiful words. And much in line with the gospel that we heard today about giving all that we can of ourselves. Love. Jesus talks today about love. We hear this morning as these short verses of John's gospel begin after Judas Iscariot had left. Now, the glorification that Jesus talks about begins with Judas walking out, because Jesus knows full well that now the events are going to unfold with rapid succession that are going to lead to his ultimate glorification on the cross and his ultimate glory in the resurrection as well. What he does here, beginning with verse 31 of chapter 13, continuing for the rest of chapter 13, all of chapter 14, all of chapter 15, and most of chapter 16, is a monologue, Jesus talking to his disciples. It is a very important and significant talking that he does, because Jesus knows this is his last shot. He knows that this is the last chance he is going to be able to teach, to give formation to those closest disciples, because he will be gone. So don't miss the significance and importance of this. You know, if we had a loved one, a very close one, who was dying in the hospital, and we get to their bedside and they would say to us, "I have a few final things I'd like to say to you," we would lean on every single word. And Jesus, knowing full well that this is his last opportunity, knew that what he had to say had to be the most significant and important words to leave them with. So what does he say? "I give you a new commandment." And he doesn't say, "You better believe every tenet of every creed that's ever written." He doesn't say, you better show up at 9:30 every Sunday at St. Joseph's Episcopal Church, though that's not a bad idea. What does he say? I give you a new commandment, love one another. We can make it so complex. And it starts and it continues and it has to end there. Jesus is going to talk about love here. He's going to talk about it in chapter 15, saying virtually the same words. He's going to talk about it the rest of John's gospel. Towards the end of John's gospel, there's that incredible scene with Jesus and Peter. We all remember this. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love me. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love me. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Now, what we miss sometimes in the language is that in the Greek, there's a little play on words, and the words used for love are changed. The first times, it's a philia in Greek, love, a friendship type of love that Peter is saying he loves with. But the last time is the word agape. It's a different kind of love. It's a more special kind of love. It's the love that Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. How does Jesus love us? Totally, unconditionally, without concern for who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done, what your dreams are, anything, he says, love as I've loved you. That's the love that Peter had to come to learn. Because right after this section, Peter starts getting into a little bit of hot water because he says, Lord, I'll never betray you. And Jesus knows it's happening that night. Jesus still loves him. It is a call for all of us, loving one another as Jesus loves. We didn't read it today because it's our fourth Sunday, but there is this crucial reading for our faith in the chapter of Acts that we have this morning. It's in the back of your bulletin. I urge you, if you're not familiar with it, to read it, to learn, mark, and inwardly digest it, because it is Peter's conversion experience. Perhaps this chapter of John 13 and those words of Jesus finally took root in Peter when this happened. It is sometimes called the Gentile Pentecost. Peter has a vision. Peter has this dream, and suddenly he realizes, you know, we thought that this Holy Spirit and this kingdom of God stuff was just for us Jewish Christians. It was just for the circumcised few. And he has this revelation that, no, we're no better than anybody else. God's love is for all people, and we're meant to share that with all people. Jew or Greek, slave or free, circumcised or uncircumcised, black or white, male or female, gay or straight, Republican or Democrat, and whatever two things you want to put on your left and your right, it's for all people. And I go back to Jesus' command. The one thing he tells us to do, if we're truly his disciples, love one another. As my dear departed mother-in-law always said when she was with us, love, love, love everybody. You couldn't have a family argument with Mommy Dot saying that. So I ask you today, look at your own heart. Are there people that you think are not lovable? Are there judgments that you make about other people because of whatever the way God made them, that they're not good enough? You need to reread this reading. Whether you're here for the first time whether you're a daughter of the King, whether you're a brother of St. Andrew, we are called to love every single person. We say it in our baptismal promises to respect the dignity of every human being. And my friends, if you can't do that, you don't belong here. Love is the ultimate call that Jesus has. We need to open our hearts not only to receive it, but to love that way as well. The other reading that we have today is equally important. It comes from Revelation, and it's John's revelation, his vision of what heaven is like, and he has this great comparison to it as a heavenly city. That idea of it being a city is so important, because if a city is working right, people are depending on each other. People are doing each of their duties and their tasks so that that city can function well, and people are interdependent on each other. Just think of what we just experienced this last couple of weeks. There was no way you could not have a tear come to your eye with the incredible events that brought that city of Boston and all of us together. Because all of those people came together, and for that short time, they became that heavenly city, with everybody doing everything that they could to help each other. And they didn't care if you were black or white, male or female, slave or free, Greek or Jew. And look at the joy that came out of it. Love one another as I have loved you. With this reading, I always go to Isaac Dennison, wrote Out of Africa, was a famous movie back in the 80s. But some things are captured in the book that aren't really captured as well in the movie. And in the book, she talks about one of the locals coming to her and wanting to be a domestic servant. So she hires the man, and he works out great, doing great stuff, works for her for 3 months. But then he comes to her after 3 months and says to her, "Hey, would you write me a letter of recommendation? Because I want to go work for the Muslim sheikh down the street." And she doesn't understand this. "Why are you going to leave? This is so good here." And the man says, "Well, here's the deal. I'm trying to decide if I want to be a Christian or a Muslim. So I came and I worked with you for 3 months to see how you would treat me and how Christians treat each other. And now I'm going over to the Muslims and live with them for 3 months and see if there's any difference." And she says, "I wish you'd have told me that when you started." Well, the fact is this, folks. Every single person we meet, we are either bringing them closer to Jesus Christ by the way we love, or we're driving them away. That line is not trite. See how these Christians love one another. Because if truly we are to be glorifying God, magnifying God, making God's presence greater in the world, the only way we're going to do that is by loving as Jesus loves. May we choose to do so.